Welcome, Father Declan.
So you can forgive me if sometimes I don't know who I am or what I'm doing here. I moved to America 8 years ago, and when I came here first, my accent was much stronger. And within about 3 days of landing in Manhattan, I was asked to give a talk on divine mercy, and I did so. And then after the talk, this lovely old lady approached me and she says, "I really loved your talk. I didn't understand one word you said, but it sounded beautiful." So I says, "Thank you." In his final encyclical on the Eucharist just before his death, St. John Paul the Great asked the entire church to rediscover the great mystery of the Holy Eucharist. He said that he wanted to enkindle Eucharistic amazement once more in the church. How can we explain this mystery of Christ in the Holy Eucharist? I think only one word explains it: love. Jesus is here because he loves us much more than we can imagine. We all know that the more you love someone, the more you want to be with that person. We know when parents are reunited with their children and children with their parents, in a certain way, love is satisfied. Or when young people fall in love, they have a great desire and indeed a great need to be in each other's company. And this explains a little of the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He loves us so much that he never wants to leave us. He says, "Know that I am with you always." This is the language of love. Also, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be too. Because you are his treasure, Jesus is here with a heart burning with infinite love for you in the Blessed Sacrament. God our Father's desire for each of us is that we find true happiness. And we find true happiness when we encounter his Son in the Eucharist. Because true happiness comes from finding true love, a love that never changes, a love that has no limits or conditions, a love that never criticizes, crushes, or condemns, a love that always understands, a love that is always there. And it is this love that waits for us always in the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus waits for you in the sacrament of his love, and he repeats his eternal appeal, "Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" The Holy Mass on Sunday is the high point of our prayer, and Eucharistic adoration is a natural continuation of our prayer at Mass. And since Jesus remains always present in our churches day and night, he merits our loving presence before him always, day and night. And it is for this reason that the church has asked every parish in the world to establish continuous or perpetual Eucharistic adoration. This is when a parish has a little chapel or oratory like what you have, open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, with permanent exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, where Jesus is never left alone, where he's never abandoned, but there is a continuous chain of love and adoration offered in return to his heart, where we offer our prayers for our own needs, our loved ones, and indeed the whole world. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the revelation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. In that revelation, Jesus reveals himself, and in the vision, he pulls apart his vestments and also, if you like, reopens a wound to lay bare his heart for us. We know that when we choose to love someone, we're also choosing to become vulnerable. Because our love may not be returned, it may not be understood, it may not be appreciated. It may be rejected, and so to choose to love is to choose to make ourselves somewhat vulnerable. And Jesus makes himself vulnerable for us. He lays bare his heart to us. And he said to St. Margaret Mary, "Behold this heart, which has loved humanity so much that it has spared nothing, to the point of exhausting and consuming itself to show them its love. And I receive from most of humanity nothing but ingratitude, irreverence, sacrilege, coldness, and scorn." Then he said, "I have a burning thirst to be honored and loved by all in the Most Holy Sacrament, and I find nearly no one who strives according to my desire to quench my thirst by loving me in return." Jesus implores us to love him in the Blessed Sacrament. He said that he literally thirsts for our love and our presence before him always in the Holy Eucharist. Then he went on to tell St. Margaret Mary that when we believe in his love and return him love for love, then he will take up his reign and we will see the miraculous power of his Sacred Heart. So when we encounter the Eucharist, we encounter a person who thirsts for our love. Jesus once said to St. Faustina, the Polish sister who received the Divine Mercy revelation, that often in the Eucharist, we treat him as a thing, an object, and not a person. She saw Jesus in a vision, and in this vision, he looked extremely sad. And when she asked him why, he said, "When I come to a human heart in Holy Communion, my hands are full of all kinds of graces which I want to give to the soul. But souls do not even pay attention to me. They leave me to myself and busy themselves with other things. They treat me as a dead object. They do not recognize love." So when Christ comes to us in Holy Communion, we must welcome him as a loving person, a living person. We must talk to him and listen to him and give him thanks for the gift of himself. And we can continue this dialogue of love with Jesus all week in Eucharistic adoration. As Pope Benedict said, adoration prolongs and intensifies the graces of the Mass. You know, when we think for just a moment of who Jesus is, we know that a holy hour in adoration is not difficult to do, because Jesus truly is the easiest person in the world to encounter. As St. Mother Teresa used to say about adoration, nowhere are you more loved or more welcomed than here. And the greatest moments of our lives are the ones we spend in the presence of the Holy Eucharist. She said that adoration was the source of her own sanctification and gave her the ability to work with the poor. She herself did a holy hour every morning, and she said that it was only because she discerned the hidden presence of Jesus in the Eucharist in the morning that she was able to recognize him throughout the day in the poorest of the poor. One of the questions that often comes up is, how do you pray in adoration? And I'm sure many of you take your faith seriously and your prayer life extends well beyond Sunday Mass. You have a daily prayer life and so on. And I encourage you to pray your daily prayers in Eucharistic adoration. Or you may want to meditate on Scripture, particularly the Gospels. And depending on our disposition, the graces of the first apostles are available because we're hearing the same word from the same living God, and we're in the presence of the same Jesus of Nazareth. And now we can ponder and we can ask him, what do you mean by this? And he will communicate beautiful answers to our interior, guiding us on the way of holiness. Or you may want to pray the rosary, a very powerful and beautiful prayer, because when we pray the rosary, we're taking the hand of our Blessed Mother, and she is the surest way into the heart of her Son Jesus, and that's where we all belong. Or you may want to have a heart-to-heart conversation with Jesus. And I think that's the best definition of what prayer is. St. Teresa of Avila said that prayer is a loving conversation with God. And you may want to open your heart to him and tell him about your troubles or your worries or your regrets, your disappointments, moments that you didn't feel loved or appreciated. You may want to pour these things out to Jesus, because this gives him permission to pour out the solution, the graces, the healing, and the consolation into our hearts. Or you may be so tired and troubled and worn out by your daily life. Maybe you're exhausted. You don't have the energy to come, or the strength, or the will. And that is a beautiful time to choose to come to Jesus. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. And one moment of his touch is enough to renew us. He fills us again with his love and his comfort, and gives us the strength and the light to move forward in a way that pleases him. Scripture reminds us of the value of praying during the night. Jesus himself would often spend the entire night in prayer before important moments in his life. And the first holy hour he asked of us was at night in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said to his first apostles, could you not watch 1 hour with me? The passion, death, and resurrection of Christ remain present in the Holy Eucharist. And so this cry from the heart of Jesus remains present for us today who profess to be his apostles. And he asks each of us to take the question into our hearts, could you not watch 1 hour with me? As the Catechism says, the church and the world have great need of Eucharistic worship. Therefore, let us be generous with our time in going to meet the Lord. May our adoration never cease. And so, as hatred once lifted Christ up onto a cross, so now may our sacrifice of adoration lift him up in love and draw down upon ourselves, our loved ones, and the whole human race, the graces he won for us on Mount Calvary. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, the plan for your adoration chapel is to turn to perpetual adoration. And as a result, we need many more people to commit for a holy hour of adoration. This is the most beautiful gift that you give yourself, and that you give the heart of Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to look at your calendar full of worldly things, often have no eternal value, and to see a sacred appointment with Jesus, an appointment that will truly have eternal value. It's a beautiful, consoling thing to see that on your calendar, and it becomes very quickly the most treasured hour of the week. And so I invite the greeters to pass out invitation cards, and I invite you to fill them in and choose a period of time that would suit you. If you're not sure what period of the 24 hours will work for you, then just put your name and contact information, and you can discuss that via the phone with one of the coordinators and arrange something that will work for you. So I encourage you to take this step in your relationship with Jesus. We know how friendships grow, and at a certain point, people commit. They commit to each other, and it's then that the relationship truly develops. Relationships are not built on obligation, they're built on love. And Jesus asks us for a return of our love. He asks us to go beyond our obligation. And so if the greeters can begin handing out the invitation cards, you should find pens in your pews. And I want to make a special plea for the nighttime hours. I would encourage you men especially to sign up for the nighttime hours. I myself do a lot of nighttime hours, and I can tell you there's no comparison between that and adoration during the day. There's very particular graces given during the night that I've never experienced in the daytime hours. And also, when you get up at night, not only do you have a little flower in your hand to offer Jesus, that little flower of the little sacrifice, but you're very disposed to deep prayer. You don't have the nonsense and the difficulties and distractions of the day in your head. You have a clear head, and it's amazing how Jesus draws us into beautiful prayer during the night. So I want to encourage you to sign up, especially for the nighttime hours. We need more nighttime adorers, mostly. So once again, I encourage you to give this beautiful gift to yourself. I've never met anyone, and I've met thousands of adorers, and I've never met anyone who was sorry that they said yes to committing for a weekly holy hour. Give this gift to yourself, and give this gift to the most loving heart of Jesus, who loves you so tenderly, who's always loving you. When you're sleeping, he's loving you. When you rise, he's loving you. And he loves especially to see us come to be with him. So thank you for your attention. Be assured of my prayers, and do please pray for me. God bless you.